Good afternoon, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak. I'm on the 12th floor of the State Capitol in the Public Service Commission hearing room, and we're just about to kick off a work session on case number PU-08-932, the EDF Renewable Development Maricourt Wind Power Project. This is in Commissioner Culk's portfolio. I do not have any opening comments. I'll check and see if Commissioner Christman has any, and then we'll kick it over to Commissioner Culk.
I have some questions and comments ultimately later, but not really opening comments. But.
Okay, good. Then, Brian, we'll turn over to you to sort of walk through the work session and where we're at with this and how you see us moving forward.
All right, thank you, ma'am. As everyone knows, we had a hearing down there March 19th, so really that's relatively not that long ago. And so what I wanted to do is just get a chance for the three of us to talk quickly through this and just get any if there's any big concerns that either one of you have early as we go through this. But one of the things I wanted to kind of set up was this is not a whole new project to approve. We've already approved this project. So this is it's a modification. And there was some discussion amongst the three of us about whether to even have a hearing. And then we opted to have the hearing, which I think that's all. It is what it is. But as we go through the order, which Jerry's working on the draft right now, which will take a little bit more time, but the point is, it's not going to be the way I see it is we already have an order. It's just a modification to it. So when we go through some of the issues, it'll be a different kind of order than I think actually I've even seen, because it's modifying the original order, which we did back in 2000. And I can't remember the actual vote was.
2008.
That's when we started, but it was later than that. It must have been into 10 by the time we finished it. And so that's kind of the setup I thought of the order. And then when the hearing. 2011 is the approval. Yeah, so that means the certificate expires in 2015 for the current one. So they could go build this wind farm already. They already have a valid certificate. And that's one thing that didn't really get flushed out real big in the hearing is that they already have a valid one. So some of the concerns we heard from the landowners, they were valid. I'm not saying that, but there were things that we'd heard before in the other hearing. And so I just kind of want to cue that up a little bit. The one thing that really stuck out to me in the hearing was how now the company has a federal nexus that they've created by requesting a take permit. I'd never heard that in any of the hearings that we'd ever been.
Whooping cranes?
Well, it was whooping cranes and the piping plover, I think, is what I hit on my notes here. Jerry, do you remember if that's what it was? Is the whooping crane and the piping plover?
Yeah, I think the piping plover got added. So it started with the whooping crane issue and then it somehow expanded into piping plover.
Because the first hearing that we had, the first decision that we issued out was that they did not want to participate in the Habitat Conservation Plan, they being the company, and they had not requested any of the documentation around it. And that was one of the things that it didn't hold up my vote in 2011, because there was no federal nexus, so it wasn't required for the turbine, for the wind farm. But now, since they have requested this permit, there's one more level that we'll have to address in the order, and I talked to Jerry about it a little bit, where we can make a decision without the final NEPA being done, but we certainly would have to have some kind of finding in there that says that. And the levels of NEPA are a full EIS, which has to go to a record decision, and I don't think that's what's going to be required here, so it'll probably be an EA, environmental assessment, which will come a little quicker, and there's more local controls. I don't think it'll be a category exclusion, the CADEX, so that's something that it needs to be in order, I believe, but how we nuance that, kind of maybe like we did in the power line where we say before they can finally build it, they have to have the final NEPA concurrence, something like that. All the other issues I thought were fine, and this is just a 10,000-foot look. I was very happy at the end of the hearing where, even though I'd heard Mr. Gross testify a few years ago, when the company agreed to withdraw turbine 41A and 45A, I thought that was really good, because those are ones I think that I would have asked them to move because they're alternate sites. And I guess, looking at my notes here, everything else I saw in the hearing was reinforced that we'd made the right decision a few years ago. There was a few caveats with the species. Everything else is pretty much put into place. I guess that's kind of the way I'd set it up. I don't know, Jerry, did I miss anything on what we talked about?
The certificate renewal.
Oh, yes, the certificate renewal. So our certificate's good for 4 years. And I guess what I'd like to do is whatever we decision we come up with, that if it's a yes, then the certificate's renewed for 4 more years. Because essentially this is a full commission relook. So why wouldn't we do it just like it was the beginning? I don't know why we'd pick a number different than 4 years.
The alternative would be to just approve the different locations and have the clock ticking on the existing order.
If you did that, I think we would be expiring on the existing certificate. But, you know, they did file a certification that the law says is needed to extend the certificate. And so I think we need to address it somehow.
How did 4 years get to be the time that they have to build?
It's in the law. The law says that if they haven't begun construction in 4 years, that they need to certify that nothing's changed.
Okay. And that's for energy conversion, not just wind farms, correct?
Yeah.
So whether it be a coal plant or a gas plant, so it's not unique to wind.
And the certification, that's just something they just file and then it's done? Or does the certification need to contain specific elements and need approval?
You know, the law says that they just need to file it, and it doesn't say anything more about if the commission needs to approve it or anything like that. But I think that our position, we have a rule that talks about it, and I think our position is that we need to find acknowledge it or something with it. We'll do whatever the rule says here in the order. But we also have in the rules something called a certificate of continuing suitability that's spelled out on how that's issued. And so Mitch and I have talked about this a little bit, and our thought is to go ahead and address it in the order and possibly issue that certificate of continuing suitability.
Is that in our rules, Jerry, or is
it is? You know, we haven't been using it, and I just remember that we used it one time, but in a different context. And
but we haven't been using it because we haven't been asked for this type of a thing.
Yeah, it's never been asked before.
Okay,
that's why I had more. Yeah,
and you know, at the time before when we used it, if I'm remembering right, it was maybe an Otter Tail case or something where they had made some changes or something and were asking if their certificate was still good, and we issued that certificate of continuing suitability to address that. And now that I look at things, I think that maybe the purpose of that certificate when it was put in the rule was for this situation rather than what we issued it for before. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you look at it, we issued certificate number 1 back then. This would be number 2.
So I guess I just want to look at what exactly is required for that. Or can you summarize that briefly? What's required for reissuing a certificate?
I think that they filed this certificate. If you give me a second, I'll
look
up the...
Okay, good. I wish I had my iPad. I'd look it up myself. But.
Well, Commissioner, I just thought this would be a good cue-up, and I figured we'll do this again once there's a draft order. And
sure. Well,
yeah. Sarah, the attorney there, is supposed to be addressing all of this in the draft order, and so we'll see if we agree with what she puts in there.
Okay.
We're expecting that. She hopes to have it done on Friday this week. So then we should probably see it next week.
Okay, so that's one question, is whether we do the certificate of...
That's what I saw as big questions. Everything else, I think, was not out of the norm of what we've seen. But those things I just hit were just things I hadn't seen before.
I haven't listened to the hearing yet, especially the public comment portions, but were there members of the public who had issues with the revised locations? That was kind of the reason for going down there. The actual revised locations a concern to...
No, me? I would say you're exactly right. Gary Gross and his wife Shirley, Gary testified. He's the landowner in that middle part of the map the white spot right there. And he testified he didn't like 41A, 45A to the left. And he really, those ones to the north, he wasn't too keen on those either, the 78 and 80 and 37.
That must not be.
And then the company.
Both these. This
yeah,
one?
Exactly. And then the company voluntarily withdrew 41A and 45A. So that's why I thought that was a very good concession, if you will, before we even got done with the hearing. And then there was.
And the other ones he didn't like were?
To the north predominantly.
80 and 84A, those? 80A and 84A?
Correct. And then there's concerns about access roads on 37A and 78A. I personally was less concerned on those ones to the north because it's a county road, but the ones to the west of him, and they were alternate locations, so it's not like we're predominantly affecting their power output.
Oh, I see what you mean.
These are all alternate locations, actually.
Yeah, all seven of those alternates he dislikes.
Right.
But the ones
close
to the west of them, those four are the ones he dislikes the most.
Correct.
Yeah. But I think if I can just add to your point.
I'm sorry, I thought I shut it off.
For clarification, he kind of has two issues. One, he doesn't want them by his place. Two, he's very concerned about road issues and power issues during construction because they're going to be the power to his farm, as I recall, comes from the north along that section line.
Yep.
And so they're going to be back and forth under that power line, and you know, he's concerned about them either tearing it down or more likely just having it temporarily shut off so they can work back and forth under there. And so he's worried about traffic issues when he's moving his big equipment and that power line. I think just the concerns of having them close to his place held greater weight with me. It is a county road, and frankly, when he's moving back and forth with his big equipment, he's potentially disrupting someone else's traffic too. And so I don't know that the fact that they're on the road during the construction of this is a good reason to deny them. But I do have sympathy for him being caught right in the middle of this.
Yeah, he was used to that road being his. It's a public road, but he uses it for a driveway. And you know how you do that kind of thing for years out there, and it all just, you kind of feel like it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was that just a construction issue mostly? Is that something that will go
you
away?
Know, if they take the line out of service to move the crane, I think there was some rebuttal on that, some discussion of it from somewhere, but the idea being that that's something you coordinate with the local utility bringing it out. It's only down for a little while. They go and tell the people that they're going to be down for this time. It's like a scheduled outage for them. And it's not going to be an issue going on all the time like he was seeming to think that it would. If they bring the crane in at some points, they can, I think we heard this on the stand, they can lower it enough to get it under the line without moving the line. And so every time they bring the crane under there, they're not going to have to disrupt this power, was what that construction guy was saying, that if I'm just talking from memory here, I think he worked on the Bison projects.
Yeah, Nathan Brandt is who it was.
Okay. And brought up those kind of issues with it. And
so what's the solution on this?
I would also add that the turbines, a lot of the ones that were getting objected to, were not moved that far from where they were approved the first time. So really his objection goes back to the stuff that was approved previously. And so I would suggest there's a map that compares where stuff was before and where it is now, that we kind of look at how things have changed.
Well, but to Commissioner Fedorchak's question, though, I think for me, when the company withdrew 41A and 45A, that was good because I wasn't going to support those two wind farms anyway, those two towers. The question is, do we want to take seven? My question in my mind is, do you want to take away? We take away 78A and 37A. It would be the next step if we really wanted to offset some of those concerns. And so I wouldn't be against that. But by the same token, I think they're far enough away that it's okay. Because, I mean, like Jerry said, I voted on this before, and those locations were next to his house because they were – it's a property rights issue too. Because the people that have 41A and 45A, it's their property to develop. And so that's the other side of this equation.
I'm looking at the original locations if I'm – and the 30, comparison.
37 were down in the bottom, right?
Right.
And the south down there, and if you see, they were
30, almost – yeah, 34 and 37. So that's very close to 45. 41 is different, but 41A, I should say. 45A is very close to, it's between 34 and 37 originally cited. But then to the north, there weren't any, I don't know what his view shed is, but 80A and 84A are new, weren't cited originally. So, anyway.
Well, frankly, I think, you know, whether it's those alternates or the fact that they're in there working on 35 and 36 and 33, you know, he's going to have those issues with them guys. Because he indicated, by the way, I didn't mention this, he has land further up north that he farms. This road issue for him extends beyond what we see on our map. So the fact that even if we didn't approve any of the alternates, which would be fine with me, and if they don't have enough good spots, they can also make a 148 megawatt farm or 46 or something. But he's going to have the road issues and the power line issues probably. And I don't think, well, less turbines would make some mitigation, but I don't think we can not have projects because someone else might be on the road that someone else uses.
Right.
You know, that's, like I said, he causes that to other traffic when he goes with large equipment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't think that's a good case for him. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, like I said, I would be fine with eliminating the alternates altogether. I do have one other thing that I just want to throw into the mix. I kind of, in my mind, from my thought process anyway, came to this realization and kicked it off with the Antelope Hills project of trying to get them not to take way more than what they need into a plat. So before I say this, I want to ask a question. What's the setback area they need from the edge of their boundary?
We've been using the fall down distance.
When I asked about down way in the bottom, the farthest south point of this project, there's that little 40-acre track that's off to the left with no turbines on it.
Okay.
And I inquired about that, and they said they needed that for the setback because of number 48. And so is that correct? They need, it needs to be the height of the turbine distance away?
1.2 times the turbine height.
Okay. So assuming that's right, here's my thought on what could be easily eliminated from this.
Okay.
Is that odd-shaped acreage in section 24 of 13168 up on the upper left. That's nowhere near a turbine. I don't know why we need to be moving into that section of land.
I think we asked that question, Randy. I agree with you. I think you're talking right over here, right, in the northwest?
Yep.
Remember I asked that question, and he said that was just a landowner adjacent, but they weren't against us shrinking that down.
Yeah, I think they had bought off on that one. Then the other one, I had asked about section 23 up right toward the top, more toward the right, where there's that non-participating landowner. And they said they needed setback for turbine 50. So rather than take a section minus a non-participating landowner, how about we delete the north half of that section and the southwest quarter, which would include the non-participating landowner, and just have that southeast quarter of Section 23 in, and that would give them setback for 50 and 49, and they should be fine, and we've
kind of constrained. Say that again. Can you delete north half?
The north half and the southwest quarter.
Yeah.
Of 23.
Correct.
And that's in
13168? 13167, that one is.
60. Oh, the first one was 68.
Yeah.
And this is 13167.
Same rationale you could put in the very bottom, that 46A, 47A, 48A, that little jut to the west.
Well, they said they needed that for the setback, which, I don't know, on the map, it looks to me like they'd have quite a bit from 48 over, but I asked that, and they specifically said they needed that.
Okay. So that would leave you keeping the southeast quarter of 23.
Right.
Yes. But that was part of my initial question, assuming that you agree with whoever it was that I asked. I don't remember which witness it was, but someone said they needed that for setback. Would you agree with that?
I have to look at it and make sure.
If it's needed.
Yeah.
It's needed.
That's if, and that was if the whole 123, 131, 67 was needed, or if we can get by with just keeping that quarter. Is that it?
Well, clearly that quarter would do it. I mean, the other three quarters are nowhere near a tower.
Yeah, so. Our setback that they discussed would be met just by keeping only the quarter is what you're thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I can see 50 is pretty close to that southeast quarter of Section 23. So, I mean, that would make sense to me. Like, the one down on the bottom, that looks a little further, but I don't know if these maps are quite that precise. So I would grant that they probably need both those spots. But
Okay. I do have that certificate if you want me to.
Oh, sure.
Whenever you want me to read it.
Whenever Randy's done with his stuff.
Well, that was my one point. My other one just being knowing how this Gary Gross is just surrounded in here and the concerns he has. Do we even need to approve the alternates? Would it work to just approve the 75 proposed turbines and... it should be a lot of pressure off of him.
Remember when we asked those questions, that line of question about to prioritize their alternates?
Yeah, and they did submit in a late filed exhibit. And I understand that Sarah's working on some findings to that effect, too, in the proposed order, so we can see what they say.
Because I would,
that seems like a smart way to do that. Yeah. Have them narrow it down.
Yeah. Because I think that those five, I had down on my notes at the hearing that those five were going to be topics of concern for the work session. And they already removed 41 and 45, so those additional three, if we didn't approve those, they still would have enough. And if they came back and they needed one of those, we could maybe entertain it at that time. Mm-hmm. So I just... That's kind of what I was thinking, the same as you were.
One thing that I found concerning regarding alternates, of course, I haven't listened to a transcript, so I'll note that this is my notes on what was said, and I would stand to be corrected, but Mr. Sternhagen, the project manager, early on in my notes said, if they need to go to alternate sites, landowners would be in on the discussion on choosing which alternates to use first. And then as the day progressed and he provided us this list of the alternate sites, he had them listed in the order of their productivity capabilities. So it sounds to me like it doesn't really have to do with the landowners' concerns. It has to do with the productivity. Okay. Although they did seed the two, which were really in the middle of the productivity chart.
Was that just their preference, though? Did he use those? Would they be the starting point for discussions with landowners, or did he say these are what we choose?
I don't know. When he rated them, he said, you know, he listed them off, and then we didn't know whether that, like, the first one was the last that would be used or the first to be used.
That's right.
And then he said the first one is the highest producer, the last one is the lowest producer. And so the fact that they haven't categorized that precisely tells me that's which order they would probably want to use them.
Yeah. I think that's all they were supposed to be, was their preference. But for landowners, you know, they need an easement to put it there. And I don't know if they have these easements already on these alternates or what, but they'd have to exercise easements if they have options or whatever. So they'd have to be talking to the landowners that way, I would think.
Well, aren't all the shaded lands
they
have easements? They're listed as...
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. I don't know what their procedures are to...
exercise that
easement. Yeah.
Yeah, they certainly couldn't tell us that they have... considering alternatives without having some easement under contract.
I always thought the shaded area were the participants, and, you know, they always, I don't know about specifically this project, but other wind farm projects have always emphasized that they never tell these people that they're getting X number of turbines. And so I assume they have easements that say it's this much for each turbine we put on your land.
Yeah.
In fact, that was pretty well pointed out, the...
Usually they have options.
One of the last people that testified down here toward the bottom right, and he has multiple turbines, but there was just two of them that he didn't like. So apparently it's just a per-turbine payment.
So usually they do have options going in, and then they exercise the easements that once they know that they're putting a turbine on it. So I don't know what that means to exercise their option. But an option means that they pay the guy so much for an option, and then if they actually use it, then it's a bigger payment that they get for the easement.
Okay. So do we want an order with those five out, or subject to discussion some more?
Did they give us the list?
The list is in the late filed.
They gave us
so
the
we
verbal
have that?
List.
Is it the same as what they gave at the hearing?
I haven't checked yet.
Okay.
I have to go through the late filed.
I guess I'd be interested in... Can you pull up the late filed, Jerry, to see if the list...
Before I do that, though, you want to hear about certification?
Sure. since you're on that page.
Yeah. Okay.
Smart.
So, 69... 06, 09, 01, and 2. 01 is the certification requirements. They filed the certification document, and that must shall contain 1, the proposed date for the commencement of construction or improvement, and 2, the information relied upon in making the certification. So their certification. They're certifying that they still meet the requirements. The exact language is in the statute. Then 02 says determination and order. 1, if the commission determines that the site or route continues to meet the evaluation requirements of the Act in this article, which is what they're certifying, it shall issue an order authorizing the beginning of construction or improvement, which order shall specify the time with which in the utility shall begin construction or improvement. 2, if the commission determines that the site or route does not continue to meet evaluation requirements of the Act in this article, it shall do one of the following. A, cancel the certificate or permit. B, make such modifications to the certificate or permit as it may require. So that's the...
Okay, can you read 1 again? I'm sorry.
So that's the...
The first piece.
6906-0901.
Well,
no, the first one
and
number
two.
Two.
Yeah.
If the commission determines that the site or route continues to meet the evaluation requirements of the Act and this article, it shall issue an order authorizing the beginning of construction or improvement, which order shall specify the time within which the utility shall begin construction or improvements.
Okay. Do we tell them? Oh, so we just give them another extent, like a...
And that's where Brian is suggesting, and give them another 4 years. There's, if you remember, there were some discussions during the hearing about the transmission line for the Ellendale line coming in and how that would open up the transmission issues in the area. My thought is that they may not find a buyer for this project until that line comes in and that transmission situation opens up down there, and it also opens up Minneapolis markets too.
Well, I agree with what Jerry just said, but I was thinking more about 4 years just because the commission went down and held a hearing. We've basically recertified the whole application. So why wouldn't they get the same 4 years that we would in a new wind farm? The transmission, I think, adds to the case, but the case was we've held a hearing. Why not treat it like a new wind farm, even though it is an amendment? Because we've reviewed all the appropriate stuff that we would normally in a regular hearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have objections to that. It is pretty much a...
It's a new hearing, yeah.
Practically a fresh case.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds
Here's
good.
That list as I copied it down.
Okay. We'll see how accurate you were.
Here's the list as I copied down.
Okay, so we want to find the
list. So Jerry's...
Fair to say.
Good job, you guys.
Take good notes. While Jerry's looking that up, I almost forgot this, so I don't want to forget it again. Mr. Meidinger brought something up at the end, and it was kind of odd. Were we kind of adjourned, and then he
came
to
up
talk?
After? Yeah, that's right.
So, do we still take that into consideration, or what? Because he said, and Brian, you're kind of an expert on this. He said the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proclaimed this a piping plover nesting area in 1987. Is there anything, do we have to do anything about that, or is that all what we count on the NEPA process to take care of?
Is that the avoidance areas that are identified here? I mean, I see U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service crosshatched areas on this exclusion areas.
I don't know exactly what it meant.
Well, when I heard, first off, exactly you said, the judge closed the hearing, then he came back up, so we kind of just listened to him. But I think his concerns would be kind of addressed in the two things Julie's bringing up, our existing avoidance and exclusion areas, as well as the review that's taking place now on the NEPA, would certainly cover all of that.
So and if the U.S. Fish and Wildlife has some issue with this,
it's
not really our issue to catch. It would be NEPA. The NEPA process would catch that, and that would, our approval would hinge on them getting that approval. So we're already covering it in a roundabout way.
In this case, I think that's true. But we've had cases in wind farms where it gets kind of dicey, where the Fish and Wildlife Service won't show up to our hearings. And if they come, their testimony always carries weight. If they don't show up, it's hard to determine what that means, because they don't have to submit to our wind farms. So we've had challenges with them in the past, but in this particular case, I think we're okay. But that was one of the crutch issues of 2011, is we were trying to figure out what the Fish and Wildlife's position on the whooping cranes was, and they wouldn't weigh in, and the company was not asking. So we ended up approving it. But as you can tell, they never found a buyer for it, and now they went back and asked for the take permit. So it's kind of like, I think in 2011 they may have had better success if they would have done the work then. They would have already had that take permit, and they probably would have better luck getting a buyer, because I think that this is just me up to, this is not citing, but I think the take permit has a lot to do with people who's willing to buy the power. I don't know for sure, but that's just my gut. Sometimes it lays out that way.
The take permit was weird, too, and that they had not done this before.
Right.
And so in order to get a take permit, this is weird, you have to convince the Fish and Wildlife people that a take is likely. But in their viewpoint, a take is just the opposite. A take is not likely. And so they end up arguing something they don't believe to be true in order to get the permit. And so it's kind of circular. And
we would make our order contingent on them receiving the take permit?
No,
I would on the NEPA review.
Yeah. I don't think a take permit's ever been issued.
Well, that's what I remember hearing at previous hearings. That
ever
those
been issued
don't,
to anybody?
They don't give them.
I think that that's what they said. Nobody's ever gotten a take permit for a whooping crane or something.
But if you've asked for one and you do the NEPA review, if it would happen, and you went to a court, the court would look probably more favorably on you because you tried to do it.
It's like bald eagle licenses?
Well, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused by the whole situation myself. But
what I thought was if they can come back, a contingency in the order was that a EA comes back with a finding of no significant impact, that has to be a finding. And if that's the case, then it's okay. Yeah.
I think that Fish and Wildlife is worried that this whooping crane issue is going to blow up on them. And so they're just kind of trying to do something.
Well, and we've had cases where the Verendry wind farm, or the basin one, was right in the middle of whooping crane flyway, right smack dab in the middle. So the NEPA came back and gave them approval to build it in that corridor if they agreed to buy 10,000 acres somewhere else. And so Basin had to go buy some other property somewhere else. It was outside of our siting, but that was the kind of give and take that takes place. So this company may end up doing that. In order to get their final EA, they may have to buy something somewhere else.
That works.
So you want to wait, Commissioner, to not wait, but...
Well, Jerry just has the list. He was just going to go through it, weren't you, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm looking for
the late
here.
Filed. I don't know why...
Was there anything else, that, Randy? Because I looked at the other ones, and I didn't see anything else that jumped out as a, quote, out of the ordinary.
No, my concerns were really that I made note of and that I didn't feel like I got addressed well enough that day were those excess acreages, the Mr. Meidinger's comments, and then just some of these alternate spots around Mr. Gross's place.
Because they talked about shadow flicker. They went through the county permits, Historical Society. They have some FAA permits they're waiting on. Everything else, decommissioning plan, we talked about that. I thought it was actually a pretty clean hearing, with the exception of those three nuances.
Anybody remember the exhibit number on that?
No.
Okay, 26.
So all of the alternatives that I'm seeing, a lot of alternatives listed here.
The best way that I could explain it was that the ones with the remember, it's a modification of the existing permit.
They're the dots.
So if you see the orange filled dots, yeah, those are the ones that are true alternates. The ones that aren't orange filled are shifts from the previously approved permit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's seven of them west and north of Mr. Gross.
Right.
And then one way down to the south.
Yeah.
82A.
And you're suggesting not approving any of them, Randy?
I would be fine with that.
You mean any of the whole seven or any of the five?
Which five?
Because I had down in my notes the five that we already, the company already withdrew 41A and 45A.
That's, yeah.
I was thinking if the additional ones would perhaps, if we went that road, it would be 78A, 80A, and 84A. that little horseshoe to the north and west of Mr. Gross's property.
78, 79, 80, and 84.
Right, because his property is in the northwest corner of that white spot. So he was more, because I asked him about to the south. I said, aren't you concerned about 54A? He said, no, I'm more concerned about the ones to my north than I am to the south because of where the house is situated.
Well, and I will say, you know, you make a point, 37 is, if they used that one, would be almost unnoticeable to him in light of 35 and 36.
Well, exactly.
You know,
right.
That's.
Are these his towers?
No, and we asked him about that too, so you get a neighbor.
See, I mean, so this seems to be kind of a slippery slope that we haven't done this in other places where the neighbors, I mean, we've asked the companies and they've generally worked to minimize on the biggest concerns, but we're, you know, one guy's interest here is taking higher priority over the other people's interest to get the towers. So
one distinction, I mean, your point is valid.
Mm-hmm.
One distinction, though, in a lot of the other cases, you have a situation like down here by this 82, just south and a little bit east is a person that lives down there, and he actually has that land where 82 is. He doesn't really like that one so good, but he's close by. It's on the edge, and so, you know, in most cases we're dealing with something like that where there's a tower, a couple towers, one way from somebody, and they just, but they're on someone else's land, and they just wish they weren't quite so close. I think it's unusual, possibly unprecedented, where we have somebody who's just absolutely encircled by these things. Pretty much every direction you can look,
mm-hmm.
It's nothing but wind turbines here. And so, you know, I think that's a little bit different. There was another person who testified in opposition that has kind of a gun shooting club up here toward the northeast corner, and that's more similar to, I think, our traditional examples. He wished it weren't going in. He doesn't want to deal with it all the time, but to alleviate his concerns means not allowing someone else to develop theirs. But in this case, if we eliminated some or all of these alternates, those landowners are still getting some towers, at least that would appear in most cases, unless there's very odd subdivisions of land. But it wouldn't quite encircle a person the way this does Mr. Gross.
Well, I'm sympathetic to the encircling, for sure. But at the same time, what about the counting, I mean, the setbacks and some of the local control issues here that I feel the commission has always kind of put that back onto the locals to, you know, you pass the setbacks that work in your area and then the companies know what they have to abide by. And I mean, there's no end to us picking the winners and losers if we start doing this. I'm seeing the guy, I'm thinking about the guy in the Courtney project. He had one out his, you know, front window and, you know, a few places that he didn't like, and the company worked with them, but there was more, and I don't believe we basically said you can't have them. So,
well, they are,
that's my concern. They are alternates.
Well, and to your point, Commissioner, about the ones that we've not allowed, if you will, there's been a reason why, like the airfield safety in the Courtney Wind Farm. We did a wind farm up by Cooperstown. There was a bed and breakfast that they tried to explain. There was an economic balance sheet. So, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Maybe there's a caveat that we could say that these three are only to be used as a last alternative. I don't know if that's getting dicey too, isn't it? Because then all of a sudden it'll become the first alternative.
I guess, you know, and this is, you know, partially connected, but it partially explains maybe some of my sympathy for Mr. Gross. Mr. Sternhagen, what was his position? Kind of their main witness. He testified that they, you know, because we had this scheduled, was this the third time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's been on again, off again. They had notified the participants of the meeting, but they didn't notify the neighbors like Mr. Gross, who's surrounded. So there's clearly not a very good neighborly relationship here either.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's unfortunate, that it's gotten off to that start.
Mm-hmm.
So then let's take it the other way while we're beating a dead horse. Let's say that we don't approve those three turbines, 78, 80, and 84. What would be the rationale to not approve?
Exactly.
We can't show a... The other cases, we set a safety concern for the airfield, so we moved those turbines. Up in Rolla, we said economic impact to the bed and breakfast, so we removed those turbines. There would be hard to justify a reason to disallow, because they've met kind of requirements. The noise and shadow flicker was fine. It doesn't... He's,
setbacks.
The setbacks are fine. He can't... His argument was not a loss to his business. It would be tough to justify that, wouldn't it?
You would justify it on the orderly development.
Okay.
Part.
Those were alternates, all of them, right?
Yeah.
So the chances are they're not all going to get built, and maybe none of them will, and or maybe just one of them will. But when he talked to me
orderly development
on the phone prior to the hearing, what he was most concerned about was that 141A there, the, whatever it is, that was straight west of his property. And that was his biggest concern. He was adamant about if that one's fixed, the rest of the stuff is secondary, and they did give him that. And they even gave him the one south of that one, too, there.
That so, really wasn't what he testified, though.
But, well, that's what he told me on the phone, and he got that problem taken care of, and then he's looking up to the north, too, I think.
See, I don't think orderly development is... direction I want to go in. I mean, you could use that for anything, and I think it just sets us up to be the decider of, you know, which wind towers get picked and which don't. And I think that I think it's better for those issues and setbacks and distances from people's homes and all of that to get worked out at the county and local zoning level, where they can, as a community, decide how far do we want this stuff from our homes, and they can make their case to the zoning boards, and then what they decide, you know, if there isn't some other cultural or environmental issue for a tower, we'll have to be picking winners and losers in every single hearing on every single tower, because there's going to be people who don't like the tower from this point or that point, and how are we going to decide? Well, you guys, your loss of view or whatever it is more important than this guy's loss of income for getting the tower on his land. That's not a precedent I feel comfortable establishing with this.
My other thought, too, was that the original layout did have turbines up north there. If you look in, at the comparison sheet, they've shifted a little bit, and if I remember right, I think we might have even eliminated one of them.
One of them, the original ones, was up there?
In that area up there?
30, I guess, yeah.
You can see it shifted around a little bit, but there were some turbines up there
before.
Yeah,
58, 33, 82.
Mm-hmm.
One to the east of him, 27. So...
27 was the new one, but... That was a new location.
Okay. Well.
On this map. I think the company and the folks have worked it out pretty well with the, you know, the, it sounds to me like the company has gotten rid of the two that the guy was most objectionable to him. And they're alternates, so I would assume that they won't all be used. And I guess I would, if they meet the other requirements of our, the other criteria under ours, I'm not inclined to tell the company they can't use them.
Fair enough. Well, Jerry and I can keep working on a draft and get that staffed around, and if we want another work session, we could have it. Otherwise, we could vote maybe the end of the month. Because certainly not the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a rush to have a special meeting for something like this. Just put it in the flow.
Well, I think they indicated.
They don't even have a buyer yet.
Yeah. Somewhere, I don't see it in my notes here, but I believe they indicated that they wouldn't be doing any construction until 16 on this.
Yeah.
Mm. They didn't think so.
So no, that's their first.
I don't think the next few days are.
Yeah. Their first witness testified that, Chris Sternhagen, October of, in service date of 2016. But if that's okay with you two, we'll all just keep proceeding down that road.
Mm-hmm.
My iPad is acting up or something here. but I was able to look in the exhibits that I could see that were late filed. There's three of them that came in, and it does not look like we have the priority list.
Okay.
These are the, that's because when you were doing there, I looked through these three that I have for late filed, and they were dealing with other things, not that.
Yeah.
Noise and shadow.
Yep, the revised
cultural
noise and shadow, the turbine specifications.
Yep.
And then there was the number 27 was a map.
But it's really, I won't say it's less important, but if the position is keep them in there, then it's less important.
Well, and it sounds to me like the company is aware that these are a concern and is looking at trying to minimize those concerns.
You know, we should have had Mr. Gross come back up after the company. We should have asked him to come back up after the company voluntarily agreed to move 41A and 45A. That would have been nice to get that on the record, what his thoughts were. Because he indicated the same thing to me after the hearing. He said, oh, good, at least we got those two moved. So he was happy about that, but that was nowhere on the record.
Mm. Okay, anything else?
Oh, ma'am.
Commissioner Cole? Brian, do you have anything more? Okay. Oh, Jerry.
I'm wondering, did we require it? I can't see the exhibit list here. It won't come up. But I'm wondering if we even required the exhibit to be filed on those, since they were able to give us their priority right there.
I think
there
we asked for it, and then they came back up. He did his last testimony. You mentioned that. He came back up and gave us those.
Yeah.
That's why Randy and I had
it. We might not have a late exhibit due on it.
Yep. I had the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Good. All right. Well, Jerry, do you have anything more? Okay. Well, that concludes the work session on PU-08-932.